Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
All right, I needed a laugh track, so I asked Lou to join me for my laugh track. Y'all ready? What's the best-smelling insect?
What?
Deodorant. See, she smiled. All right, there you go. All right. If the earth is 71% water and it's all non-carbonated, right? The seas are all non-carbonated. Does that mean the earth is flat? Oh, I got a groan. Yes, yes. All right, I want to introduce you this morning to Lou Phillips. This is Lou Phillips. Say hi.
Hi, everyone.
Use the mic. There you go. All right, you got it on?
I don't.
There you go. Now it's
on. Is that better?
Yeah, there you go.
Hi,
Lou Phillips. So Lou Phillips and I, she came up after service last week, and what did you tell me?
Well, I was literally sitting right there, and because of some things, I knew I had to get for prayer, and the prayer folks were out, and I was headed over to get prayer, and you stopped me and asked me hi. And I broke down and told him what was going on with my life.
So what was going on? You had a problem with your eye, right?
I woke up about 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, couldn't see very much out of my right eye, had a big yellow blob in front of it, and if I was looking at something, it looked like the printer was running out of ink, so it might be a little dark here, and then it fades, and you saw nothing else.
And the doctor told you that it was because of pressure, is that correct?
Macular degeneration, age-related, not even diabetic-related, so...
Wow. So I don't know if you know that, but she couldn't see, right?
That's right. I was so frustrated, I about walked out of church and I said, no, I'm going to wait and get prayer.
All right. So then what happened when we prayed?
What happened when we prayed was that all of a sudden the yellow blob...
Well, hold on. Let me say this. We prayed the first time.
Yes.
The first time we prayed, did anything happen?
No, I was too scared.
No. Well, all right, can I give you the rest of the story? She says she can't see. And I'm like, all right, Jesus can heal eyes. And I started praying for her. And I realized I was just doing what I do, which is I pray for people because I believe God can do anything, right?
Yeah.
Or I believe it. I just believe, though, that
That's right.
God could heal. And we prayed. We did the rote prayer. And we did it all the right way. And then what happened?
And then I started seeing. And then I was like, am I really seeing this? Is this really God?
Well, then we prayed again.
Yep, and I saw more.
So when we prayed the next time, she was standing right here and there were words up on the screen. Before, could you see the words on
no,
the screen?
No, like I said, they were like the printer page that had, and your ink is faded and it might be a little dark here and very light over there and nothing over there. And then all of a sudden, and then I could see the words, and I could see them clearly, and it was amazing what God did.
Now, if you weren't here in the second service, you missed some fun. Because she's standing with one eye closed, staring up at that screen,
he's
saying,
right.
I can read the words! I can read the words!
I can't tell you.
Is that about right?
That is accurate. I was, I actually said to him, if this is one old-fashioned church, I might be running right now. So I just felt the Holy Spirit on me and what God did. I mean, even looking at his papers laying there, I can see the words. And if you just wake up one day blind in your eye, it's a big deal. And so, you know, God just, he moved. He really moved.
All right, now we got to have the follow-up conversation.
Nah.
Because the whole time we're standing there, I admit it, I'm sort of doubting, is God really healing her? Or is, you know, this like a moment? Were you thinking
thing.
The same thoughts?
Well, certainly.
You
I'm
were?
Like, well, why do you think I was doing this?
Oh, okay. Now, you're a woman of God and a woman of faith, and there's
yes,
a bug flying right in front of my face.
That's okay.
Now, you've been this woman of God and woman of faith for years, and you believe God hears and answers you, and he's answered
before. I
know
before. He does. Yeah.
Yeah. But yet... you're still doubting even while the miracle's happening?
Yes.
I'm wondering this week, did you have any moments of doubt this week?
Well, I can't tell you. I travel 70 miles one way to work.
Okay.
So my sight is very important to me. I can't tell you how many times I drove down the road going like this. And then there was an experience at work, and I'm looking at the computer monitor, and all of a sudden, this one, your little time thing in the bottom, I couldn't see the number, and I couldn't tell what time it was. I'm like, oh my gosh, now it's in both eyes, and I'm losing it, and I went and touched it. It was a little piece of dirt on the screen. So.
I appreciate your integrity and your vulnerability. I not only appreciate the miracle, I respect the struggle to believe the miracle and to, all right, you ready for this word? Walk in the miracle.
Yep. Yep. I have to say that after I agreed to come and speak, when the pastor asked me that, my day Friday at work, from the minute I got out of bed to the end of the day, it was a battle. It was a battle. It was like everything that could go wrong went wrong at work. I was being blamed for things that the computer did all by itself. Go figure that one. And it was a battle. And I said, no, I will stand in the congregation. And I will open my mouth, Lord, and you will fill it. And you will receive all praise for what you've done in allowing me to see.
So do this real quick. Just because, yeah, yeah. Praise you, God. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we got to celebrate this the right way. You ready? All right. Close your left eye there. Just look at me right. How many fingers am I holding up?
Well, you began with two, and then it was three, and then it was four, and then it was two again. I think I missed the five.
You get what's going on here, guys. Thank you, Lou, for being so vulnerable. And you can give that back to...
Okay.
Let's give her a hand for coming up and being bold. Thank you. We'll give God a hand in a minute. We respect those who walk by faith. And I wanted you to hear that even after the healing a week ago, she still struggled to walk in the miracle. And I want to give you a word for today. I want to give you a sentence. All my sermons boiled into one sentence. Y'all ready? Faith is believing even while you struggle to believe. I believe we have that. Can you put it on the screen? Faith is believing even while you struggle to believe. A lot of us think that when we get faith, when we get enough faith, when everything happens the right way, we won't struggle anymore. But I want to encourage you and reveal to you today that true faith is the fight, not the victory. All right? So have you ever struggled with your faith? Has there ever been a time when you questioned whether God was real or not? I say I'm an agnostic about 30% of the time. Used to be 50, now it's 40, down to 30. It's getting better. Do you question the logic of faith in the Bible? I do, because I read the Bible. If our faith is true, then why doesn't God make this easier? Why do we continue to fall? Why do we continue to struggle with sin? Why do we continue to lose fights with our own flesh and desires? Why don't we see more prayer answers? And why, when God does a miracle, don't we truly celebrate it instead of doubt it and question it? Why doesn't God do something about the evil in the world? Can I give you a little hint on that one? If God did something about the evil in the world, you'd all be dead right now. Because you are the evil in the world. Don't be blaming everybody else. Deal with your own crap first, all right? All right. I don't struggle with my faith in God because I don't believe, but because I do. If I didn't believe, listen, you got to catch this. If I didn't believe, there would be no struggle. There would be nothing to struggle against. If I didn't believe, then I could just ignore God. I could ignore the church. I could ignore the Bible. But because I believe, I struggle. So faith is believing even while you're struggling to believe. By the way, if you struggle with your faith, you're in pretty good company here. Because all of Israel is named. Well, let's read it. Genesis 32:28. Your name will no longer be Jacob. Genesis 32:28. Your name will no longer be Jacob. Instead, it will be Israel, because you struggled with God and humans and have overcome. So the very name Israel means the one who struggles with God. So I want to encourage you today to struggle. We're going to talk about Abraham. We're going to talk about his faith. I've got about 15 minutes here, so y'all are going to listen fast. Y'all ready? Would you stand to your feet in honor of God's word? We do that around here. Today we're going to look at Abraham, the example. Abraham, the father of faith. Abraham. We're in Romans chapter 4. This is the passage we're going to be in today. I could do all of Genesis and read just a large portion of Scripture. I'm going to read a little bit, but I want you to know this passage sort of sums up Abraham's life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Now, without weakening in his faith, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact, and I love the NIV translation there. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. And I'll give you the CNIV here in a couple of minutes on that. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. That is why it's credited to him as righteousness. Now, the words "it was credited to him" were not for him alone. So if Abraham had these struggles, the words "it was credited to him" were not for him alone. Isn't that what it says? But for whom? Us. Now, my only problem with that song we sang a while ago, I absolutely love "Hallelujah, He Has Won the Victory." I love that song. I just wish I could make "us" rhyme with victory. Hallelujah, He has won the victory. He has won it all for me. No, I like this word better, for us. Now, I mean, I agree with the singular, but Jesus didn't just die for me alone. He died for all of us. Okay. And one of the problems we have in American church is we all think it's about me anyway, and God wants us to think it's all about us. So the words that were credited to him were not for him alone. It's not for you alone, but for us, whom God will credit righteousness, who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Lord, pray that you would add your blessing to your word. Cause us to hear it today in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Turn to somebody, give them a high five and say, I believe. I believe, brother. If you're online, I believe. Give them a big, yeah. Hold on. Wait. Stop. Everybody stop. Hold on. Wait. I saw someone. Everybody, please, I ask you to stand back up with me again. I saw somebody in this room that did not get a high five or a smile. And if that didn't happen, we got to do it all over again because we cannot miss one. So high five and a smile to everybody in the place. Now you can sit down. All right. I don't think you know how seriously I take that moment. I really take this moment seriously because do you know what happened when you high-fived the second time? Do you know what happened in this room? Did you hear the laughter? Did you hear the joy, the smiles? Did you hear that? That matters to me because the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. We don't come in. This isn't a dirge. You may be called to give your life for Jesus Christ, but you're going to do it singing all the way to the grave. All right? All right. Passage shared four necessities to keep faith alive. I've got 4 points in 10 minutes. Y'all ready? Number one, what is hope? Have hope. It says in the passage that Abraham, against all hope, he believed anyway. Against all hope, Abraham believed. So what is hope? Hope is the desire and the anticipation and expectation that something good will happen. Now, as followers of Jesus, we believe in the resurrection from the dead. We believe that no matter what happens on this earth, we always win. Why do we always win? Because even if we die now, we get to live for eternity with Jesus, who conquered death, hell, the grave. We have eternal life with him. So even if you don't have hope right now in this moment, you still have hope, because your hope is not just in what you can attain in this life. It is for eternity that you have hope in Christ. What is hope? It's looking at a baby when they're born. Anybody ever look at a baby and go, oh, you poor kid. You got parents that don't know what they're doing. You're going to go to a school system. They're going to lie to you. You can actually have a TikTok account. Well, if they don't ban it. Anyway, you Facebook or one of these days, you're going to have people tell you all kinds of bad stuff. Poor kid. You should go back. No, we don't do that. We look at a kid and what do we say? Aw, right. Because we have what? Hope. We have hope. Hope is not limited to your reason, though, because I want you to see that it was against hope. It was against hope that Abraham believed. It was against his hope that he hoped. In other words, there are hope stealers in your life that are trying to steal your hope all the time, and you have to fight against the hope stealers to continue to have hope. As a follower of Jesus, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And hope is a necessity for your life. You have to believe. Hebrews 11:1. I'll give you the Crowe's Nearly Inspired Version. Those of you that don't know, when I translate from Greek to English, this is my personal translation, and I do it for a reason. Faith is the underlying reality. I know your version for years has said faith is the substance, but you don't get it. It's a substance is like a term of how you mark out real estate. So faith is the reality. Some of you think your faith is just this pie in the sky dream, and your belief, you know, that God can heal people is pie in the sky. But this morning, faith is the reality. Remember Lou's story? Faith is a reality that God is able to do the impossible. Faith is the reality of what we hope for. So don't stop hoping. Recently, I was praying for something, and I was a little down in the dumps, and a song came on by Jeremy Camp, "The Story's Not Over Yet." I just want to tell you, wherever you are in the hope, faith cycle, the story's not over yet. Because I hope that no matter where I am in the story, the one I have hope in is able to overcome every obstacle for his glory. All right, second of all, you face the facts. Face the facts. You face the facts. Romans chapter 4, verse 19, without weakening in his faith, Abraham did what? Face the facts. Face the facts that his body was as good as dead. Now, I have a problem with versions of Christianity that deny the facts, saying that it's faith. There was a lady in the old lobby up here years ago, came in, she had MS, she was in a walker, and it would eventually, that MS eventually would take her ability to walk and actually kill her. And this lady stood in the lobby, and I said, "How's your MS doing?" And she said, "I don't have MS. So-and-so prayed for me, and I just have symptoms now because I've been healed." And I was like, "You, my dear, are robbing a village somewhere of their idiot." I'm sorry, that was bad. That was very insensitive of me. But I can be insensitive because here's the deal. She still had MS. She still had MS. And all the hyper faith, "I confess that I don't have it," all the hyper faith bull in the world is not taking away the reality that she still had MS. As a matter of fact, it might have stopped her healing because she didn't keep praying for it. Instead, she started confessing it, thinking it was about her ability instead of God's ability. My problem with the hyper faith movement and all this positive confession mumbo jumbo is that the God that we put on the throne winds up being our ability to do the right things instead of God's ability to have the power to do what he wants. And I think we need to take ourselves off the throne and put him back on the throne, because he really is God. And he has the power to call things that are not as though they are. You don't have that power. You have the power to confess. Do you know what confess means? Sorry, can I go off? Confess means to speak the same words as, to agree. Omologos, to say the same word. When you confess something, you are simply agreeing with what God already says. It's not the power of what you're talking God into. It's the power of agreeing with him. And I have yet to hear anybody in the positive confession movement confess, I delight in sufferings and hardships and persecutions, which is a Bible verse. Why won't they confess that? Because they don't want all of the will of God. They want their will. Balance. So facing the facts about the situation you're in is not a lack of faith. And there are some of you, you feel under condemnation because you admit the reality that you're in, and you think admitting the reality is saying that you don't believe in God. But you can admit the reality that my marriage sucks because I don't know what to do, or my kid is acting like an idiot and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, and this isn't what I want. But facing the fact can happen without, look at that, without weakening in his faith. You can maintain your faith while you face your facts. By the way, I want to tell you a bit of a story here, all right? Because the story we're dealing with Abraham, and the story of Abraham, Genesis 17, 15. God said to Abraham, by the way, his name was Abram, which meant holy or great father, and it turned into Abraham, which is father of many nations. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, I will bless her and surely give you a son by her. Abraham fell face down, and he did what? Come on, he what? Laughed. Now, this is a key word in the passage. And you probably missed this for years. I missed it. The key word is that he laughed. And he said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? That sounds to me like a lack of faith. But yet Abraham is known as the father of faith. Here he is walking out. Notice the word. He is walking out the struggle of God saying, you are Abraham, calling himself Abraham, the father of many nations, when he doesn't have a son. And then God says, you're going to have a son. And Abraham goes, how'd this happen? By the way, all right, one thing I want you to say. I want you to see that God, if you go to your Bible, you will find after this passage no rebuke from God for him laughing. All right, so the wife now mimics her husband. Genesis chapter 18, this is later. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre. One of them said, I will surely return about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah, what did she do? Laughed. So she laughed to herself and thought, after I'm worn out as my Lord, and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Now, if you read this negatively, it's not negative. It's just a question. Because Abraham had already laughed, and God didn't rebuke him. And this is not a rebuke from God. He just is confronting the reality. She knows it's impossible. Everybody knows it's impossible. And Sarah laughs, just like Abraham laughed. And God says, why are you laughing? Is anything impossible? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the only rebuke is in this entire passage with their struggle with laughter about the promise of God and doubting the promise of God, even while they were walking out the promise of God and doubting the promise of God. And the only struggle in the entire process, the only time God rebukes is here. He said, I'll return next time and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah was afraid, so she lied. Said, I didn't laugh. But he said, oh yeah, you did. The only rebuke is for a gentle rebuke for lying about your doubts. There's irony here because do you know Abraham, Genesis 21, 5 and 6, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. By the way, do you know what Isaac means? I put it on the screen. He laughs. There's an irony through this entire story pointing out that your doubts and God's promise can work together. All right, do not waver through unbelief. The whole story is filled with a hint of skepticism. Old people don't have babies. They tried to have babies for decades and they didn't. And the angel of the Lord speaks, they laugh. Romans 4:20, yet Abraham did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Faith is believing even when you're struggling to believe. Abraham believed that God could. He believed that God would, but he was real enough to embrace his skepticism. My favorite prayer in the Bible, by the way, is Mark chapter 9, verse 24. Immediately the boy's father proclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I love that. Favorite prayer in the Bible. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Last of all, he was strengthened in his faith. I'm moving quick. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith can be strengthened. So how do you strengthen something? If you're going to get bigger muscles, what do you have to do? You have to break them down and work them hard. You have to push them to their limits, right? So maybe God designed our faith muscles and our spiritual muscles to be very similar. We've got to work them to get them to move. How about how do precious metals become like iron or steel? Pressure, fire, all of those things are required to remove the impurities. Your faith might need some pressure against it to remove its impurities. Are y'all following me here? All right. So becoming stronger requires you to do something. So Abraham took two actions to make his faith stronger. And first of all, can I put the CNIV up? Could you put the next verse, Romans 4:20? All right. The promise of, so this is my translation. I did it on purpose because I want to show you something. The promise of God, he did not judge through unbelief. Now, that word judge there means that he didn't sit critically upon God's promise. So when God said, I'm going to do it, he chose to not be critical. He embraced his doubts, but he wasn't critical of God. He wasn't saying God can't. He was saying, I doubt. And there is a difference. I struggle with it. I have unbelief is different than God can't. So he struggled with it, and he didn't judge God's promise through his unbelief. He didn't say, God, you can't. He said, I struggle. There is a difference. But he was what? He was strengthened in his faith. One more thing you need to know here. Strengthened in his faith is a participle. Therefore, it is not an active verb. It is a passive participle, meaning that his faith from an outside source was strengthened. I don't think y'all got that. It is a passive participle, meaning that his faith from an outside source was strengthened. And that outside source is attached to the next line, by giving glory to God. How was his faith strengthened? By his worship to God. All right. I'm going to tell you guys a story. My dad had five bypass surgery on his heart, five arteries clogged. My brother last summer had four bypass surgery on his heart. Four were clogged, one of them at 100%, the other at 90%. My mother, at the same time period, had 100% blockage in one and 90% in another, and she was clogged up. I have a history. My grandmother died at the age of 61, I believe it was, with congestive heart failure, heart attack in the middle of the night. I have a history in my family of clogged arteries. I have never had, as far as I can remember, I have never had a cholesterol reading below 200, and for the last several years, it's been over 210. I take the pills, I eat right, I change my diet. Something happened this past August on my sabbatical when my brother and my mother both had surgery the same week for their heart. This church started praying for me. Oh, wait, I got to tell you the rest of the story. 5 years ago, I had a heart cath, and they found a 50% and a 60% blockage 5 years ago. with a cholesterol reading of over 210 for 5 years. You can just imagine. So I was having trouble breathing last year. So I go to the doctor and I say to the doctor, I'm having trouble breathing. And he said, well, you're a little young. They won't do anything about it. We're going to give you this test. So they gave me this test where they insert the dye and they MRI the dye as it flows through so they get an accurate reading. And the doctor said to me, I just saw my cardiologist last week and about a week and a half ago. And he said, these are always accurate. And they had me at least an 80% and at least a 70%. So I was supposed to get two stents. Are y'all following me? Major arteries clogged up to 80%. I already have proof they're clogged at 50 and 60%. Now I've got a very accurate test saying 70 to 80%. We all on the same page? So I had it in September. I had my heart cath. September, October, something like that. I had my heart cath. My wife said they came back after about 15 minutes and said to her, all right, we'll take them home in just a minute. And she's like, well, what happened? He said, there's no issue there. He said, I'll go ahead and tell you now. The doctor told her that I didn't have a single artery with over 30% blockage. Now, I don't know if you know anything. I don't know if you know anything about this. But clogged arteries do not get unclogged unless you have a heart attack or a stroke or something, right? Is everybody understanding what I'm saying here? I went from a confirmed 70 to 80% in multiple arteries to no more than 30%. Now, I haven't told you of this miracle, and it's been 6 months. Do you want to know why? Because I'm like, did the doctor get it wrong? Blah, blah, blah. I've been walking in a miracle for months, doubting the results. Let me tell you why I'm sharing this, because I just had blood work done and saw my cardiologist. And I asked my medical team back there, am I right? You read it, right? My my cholesterol right now is 144. They say that is desirable for a 19-year-old. And all the other numbers read very much the same. Do you know what happened? I want to tell you what happened. God did a miracle and healed my body. And I have proof of it, and I'm still doubting it. I don't think you got that last part, did you? Where did you get the idea that if you struggle with your faith, that you have no faith? The simple fact you're struggling to believe God means that you already believe Him, or else you wouldn't struggle. The fact that you're struggling to be an example of Christ in your school means that you're an example of Christ at your school, or else you wouldn't be struggling with it. The fact that you're struggling against temptation means that you're already a victor over the temptation, or else you wouldn't be struggling with it. My wife told me, when you talk like this, people think you're angry. I am not angry. I want you, this is what I want for you. I want you, like Lou Phillips, like me, and like Abraham, to walk in the new miracle God is doing in your life. And when you struggle against it, you just keep walking. You just keep going. You just keep it up. Because your struggle is the sign you've already won. Because our hope is not in us. Our faith is the real estate of what we hope for, and what we hope is that God is bigger. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. If you're in this room right now and you need a miracle, I told you about multiple miracles today. You need a miracle. Just lift your hands up. I want to pray with you right now around this room. Yes, Jesus, you see these hands. Miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. Miracles right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that your power would come like it came upon Lou last week, and you would do something supernatural in the physical realm, in the medical realm, in the supernatural realm, that you would do something in the emotional realm, and that you would bring healing. God, in the social realm, there would be removal of the devil's lies, and there would be victory in the name of Jesus. Right now, you are the God of the impossible. Do the impossible right now in the name of Jesus. We trust you for it. We believe you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Keep your head still bowed. And I got to ask you a question. Do you struggle with your faith? Or have you not started struggling yet? And it's your day to decide to struggle. It's your day to embrace Jesus as your Lord. You're not going to get every answer, but you will get this answer. Jesus will become your Lord right now. And if you need to make Jesus your Lord right now, I want you to lift your hand. I want to pray with you right now. Today is your day. Now is the time. Yes. Yes. There are others? Come on. Yes. Right now in this room, it's our day. In the name of Jesus, Father, you see these who are calling out to you. And in the name of Jesus, give them eternal life right now and hope eternal. Amen. Amen. So, this song, I wanted to end with it. It's a little different than a normal ending. This will be our ending. But I want you to catch the message. I absolutely love this song because it's talking about Abraham asking God, how can I do this? How can I walk in the newness of life you've given me? How can I live as the father of many nations? I don't have a son. How can I do this? How can I do it? And I want it to be a testimony to you that the father of faith struggled. You will too. But the father of faith, you still remember him. Abraham, the father of the faith. Yeah, he won. You will too.